The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, one of the things that we love doing on Grace in Focus is hearing from listeners just like you. If you've got questions you would like Bob or Sean to take a stab at, you can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. So, since we are taking questions from listeners like you, here's our question for today. Which is better, expository or topical preaching? I remember hearing this discussion as a kid growing up in a Bible church. Looking forward to seeing what Bob and Sean have to say about it. So, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Here is a question from Matt, and he says he read your blog post from January 14th, Can Someone Be Free Grace and Reject Fundamental Doctrines? And in that post, you reference another post from November, Do You Know the Four Levels of Free Grace Theology? He says, I'm perplexed that levels 2 to 3 are considered to be urgent or important free grace doctrines. I don't see how they have anything to do with being free grace. The level 1 doctrines are important, but he's not sure about the level 2 and 3. And so here's his question. Regarding levels 2 and 3, in particular the statement on verse-by-verse exposition, are you referring to the topical sermon versus the expositional sermon debate? So I guess that's the first question. And then I have met some folks who give the impression that if a sermon is not verse by verse, then somehow it isn't a legitimate sermon. Does GES have a position on this issue?
Okay, that's a good point. And I don't have the November blog in front of me, so I can't remember everything I said as far as level 2 and 3. Matt may be making a good point. Maybe we shouldn't put verse by verse exposition under level 2 or 3, but the reason I did, and the reason I believe I can defend this, is because if someone is not doing this at all, it's one thing to say we have occasional topical sermons.
Yeah.
I have occasional topical sermons.
Sure.
But my topical sermons are verse by verse within them.
Yeah.
In other words, rarely am I going to give a sermon where I'm just proof texting. Yeah. I mention a verse here, I mention a verse there, but I'm not actually discussing and going through what those verses mean.
Right.
I'm just saying, well, anybody can see that this verse proves what I'm saying, and this proves. I don't do that, and I don't think that's what a topical sermon is either.
Yeah.
It seems to me a topical sermon is exegeting multiple passages, right?
Yeah.
And now, it's not going into the detail you could if you're just, let's say you're doing Ephesians 5, 22 to 33 about marriage.
Yeah.
So you're having a sermon just on that passage and you walk your way through the passage. But in answer to Matt's questions, no, we're not saying the only kind of exposition is just walking through one passage and not going elsewhere.
Yeah.
In fact, regardless of whether you're doing one word or one verse or, you know, 11 verses or a whole chapter, if you're walking your way through, you're giving the people the scriptures. But I think I should make this point to Matt and to all of you, and that is, even though they didn't tell us this in seminary, and they should have,
The
Bible never tells us how to preach.
And there's no example of verse-by-verse sermon in the Bible.
Well, we don't have that, although we do have, I believe.
We have a lot of topical sermons, though.
Well, in Ezra, we are told that he explained the meaning, and he walked through and explained the meaning.
Sure.
And so it sounds like he's doing verse-by-verse exposition. Sounds like.
Maybe that's an example.
Maybe.
But otherwise, you just don't see it.
Yeah. Are there other messages topical? I mean, when you see, for example, Acts 7, Stephen giving this great sermon before they stone him.
Yeah.
He's walking through Israel's history, but he's doing it through the scriptures. So my point would be this. When we're taught in seminary to do X, Y, or Z when we're teaching or preaching the Bible, we're not doing that because we have some verse that tells us how to do it.
Yeah.
We are told the motto of Dallas Seminary, at least the motto we used to have, it's not the one they use mostly now, is Keruxon ton logon, which that's the Greek for preach the word.
Yeah.
1 Timothy 4:2. And when Paul tells him to preach the word, it seems to me he's not giving him all the details on how to do that. Of course, Timothy would have been taught by Paul, I think, how to do that. But we're not preaching our own ideas.
I think that's the key right there.
So I have a problem with the string of pearls approach, which is Norman Vincent Peale made that very popular, and okay. also Robert, what was his name, the Crystal Cathedral?
Oh, yeah, Schuller.
Schuller, yeah. This approach would be you would have a couple of one Bible verse, which would be kind of the string for the pearls, and it would be some kind of idea. And then the pearls would be, let's say, 10 different illustrations or stories. So a sermon becomes a whole bunch of stories that somehow illustrate a principle found in the Bible.
Yeah.
However, the problem with that is typically the way that preaching goes, the string is not actually what the Bible teaches.
It's just
some little ditty that's made up by the preacher.
Yeah.
All the stories are the sermon. In other words, the sermon is meant to prove something, and the problem is we don't prove, even if your string is correct, the way you prove that that principle is found in the Bible is by preaching the word, not by giving 10 anecdotes.
Yeah.
Because when you use anecdotes, you can prove anything.
Although we're not kind of given an example of expository preaching like that, verse-by-verse preaching in the scriptures, given that God has given us these scriptures, that seems like the best way to kind of walk someone through a book. You know, I've sat under both types of teaching, and when you're just kind of in a topical sermon week after week setting, what you're going to get is whatever the pastor's hobby horse is, and you're probably going to get the same thing maybe 20, 30 times, and you're just going to leave. You probably don't even bring your Bible to church because it doesn't really matter whether you have your Bible. You're just kind of going to get the stories and the jokes and maybe the moral point. But when I've been in churches that have done verse-by-verse preaching, you see everyone is there with their Bibles, and they're actually understanding, like, what is Galatians about? What is Ephesians about? We might not have the example of preaching that way in Scripture, but given that we are given Scripture by God and we're here to explain what the Scriptures say, it makes more sense to, just like if you're reading a novel, if you want to understand, like, War and Peace, you're not going to read a verse from Stephen King, and then next week read a verse from someone else, and you're going to go through War and Peace to understand the book, and the same with Scriptures.
I like that, John. And Matt's second question was, if it's not verse-by-verse exposition, is it not really a true Bible sermon? I would say no, you don't have to necessarily walk through a passage, or even when you're doing a topical message. Okay, you're not always going to give great detail on every verse that you're discussing.
Yeah.
But you're explaining what the text says. And so, Matt, if someone is preaching and they're not explaining what the Bible says, then I don't see how you can call that preaching. What are they doing? They're explaining what they believe? They're explaining their philosophy of life or something?
This is a good point. We're called to proclaim the Word of God. We're not called to proclaim our own opinions. We're not called to proclaim the latest headlines in the newspaper. We're not called to proclaim the latest social theory that kind of explains what's happening. A lot of churches, especially kind of liberal churches, they're preaching critical race theory and cultural Marxism, and that's what they're proclaiming. But we're not called to proclaim those philosophies. We're called to proclaim the Word of God. And verse-by-verse preaching forces you to actually preach the text, and then people can hold you accountable to that, too.
Okay, let me take the example real quickly of critical race theory.
Yeah.
I've read some books on it. Bauckham has a good book on it, and there are others. But I don't think I would ever preach a sermon on critical race theory unless the pastor said, that's what I'd love you to speak on.
Right.
And if the pastor says, that's what I'd love you to speak on, I would only do it if I could find ways in which critical race theory either is consistent with or inconsistent with Scripture. For example, I had a pastor friend who asked me to speak on replacement theology,
right,
which is a fairly popular view that the church replaces Israel and there's no future for Israel. I was delighted to speak on that, even though there wasn't any one verse I was talking about. So I took various passages and showed how replacement theology was absolutely opposed to the teaching of Scripture.
Yeah.
But I was preaching Scripture. It seems to me we should avoid bringing into the pulpit our political views, which is why I probably wouldn't talk much about critical race theory, because it gets a lot into politics and socialism and other things that I really don't want to get into in church, or even, for that matter, on this broadcast, unless unless someone has a real strong interest
in it. Sure, sure. I see, I thought you were going to make a different point. You were saying you wouldn't preach on something like critical race theory because, you know, it's political. I thought you were going to say I would never preach critical race theory because when you're preaching the scripture, you're preaching what the text says. You're not preaching what these other philosophies and theories say.
Right.
So it's like it would never come up because it's just not, that's not what Paul was talking about in Galatians or Ephesians or Titus or Timothy.
That's exactly right. The only thing, I did learn something in my preaching classes at Dallas Seminary that kind of relates to this, and that is when we would preach a sermon, if we didn't deal with common objections to what the scripture says, the professor would say, wait a minute, you have to do that. For example, if the scripture says he who spares the rod spoils the child,
right?
Well, an objection is today if you hit someone even with a wooden spoon or a dowel, you might go to jail. And so, yeah, we need some kind of a discussion on is corporal punishment something that the Bible actually teaches, and was that changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament? Does the New Testament now take that away?
Right.
You'd have to kind of deal with some objections. And there might be some passages where, you know, some social issue is related to the text.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost have to bring it up.
Sure. But it's related to the text. You
but
know,
it is arises, related to the text.
It arises from the preaching of
but
the text.
I don't want to
text.
Right. But I don't want to go to the text and go, well, this isn't really related, but I'm going to bring it up because it's kind of a tangent and it gives me an opportunity to speak on something.
That's right. So I don't know. You know, did we answer Matt's question? Turn into a discussion.
I actually liked the question. It was a good question.
Yeah.
And he's probably right. I probably shouldn't have put it in there, but
I don't remember exactly what that blog, what your point
is. It'd
in that
be nice
was.
If I had it in front of me. We'll just, you guys go look at it and see if, whatever I said.
All right, Matt, we're so glad to hear from you. And he's writing from Ohio. We'd love to hear where you're from because we're always looking for new places to hold a regional conference. And if we hear that there are people who like us in a certain area, then we want to go there. So when you send us your question, tell us where you're from, and maybe you'll see us holding a conference near you.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax-deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what might cause a person to doubt their salvation. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.